sun can fill your shoes. And when you're gone, then I'll have the blues. Oh, yeah. Take another guess. If you go your way, then I'll go
mine. Well, due to technical difficulties, we are unable to broadcast this meeting on Channel 19, our public access channel. However, members of the public are still able to watch the meeting live on our website, at our meetings and agendas page, and on Zoom. With that, I'm going to call to order this meeting and invite you in a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And with that, Clerk Collier, can you do a roll call attendance?
Commissioner Smith.
Here.
Commissioner Fullerton.
Here.
Commissioner Miller.
Here.
Vice Chair Chapman.
Here.
And Chair Maynard.
Here. And with that, we'll go on to the public forum. This is when anyone who would like to speak on a topic not on tonight's agenda could speak up on that item. Clerk Collier, do we have any speaking slips for the public forum?
I have no speaker slips for this item. If there's any members of the public joining us via Zoom, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Okay, thank you very much. Now we'll move on. Director Imhoff, are there any amendments or adjustments to tonight's agenda?
Madam Chair, there are no amendments or adjustments, but I do wish to note that Assistant City Attorney Kai is participating remotely this evening.
Thank you very much. With that, we'll move on to our administrative agenda. Clerk Collier, can you read item B1 into the agenda?
Item B1, general plan conformance finding for the capital improvement program for year 2024-2025.
Thank you. Ms. Wells, will you start with us with a presentation tonight?
Yeah, I'll kick this item off. Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. This evening, I have Molly Cunningham. She is a new assistant planner in advanced planning in the Planning and Environmental Review Department. She's going to start you off with a presentation, and then Teresa Lopes from Public Works will give you some detail on the capital improvement projects and as they relate to our general plan. And so I'm going to turn it over. You might recognize Molly because she was an intern here for a long time. And she helped us with the new zoning ordinance hearing, so she has some very specific experience with what we do in advanced planning and at public meetings and hearings. And she's come to other planning commission meetings and city council meetings. So, but tonight is her first official as a city employee presentation to the planning commission, so it's a perfect item for her to take the lead on. Thank you.
Hi, it's nice to meet everyone. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. It is my pleasure to introduce the General Plan Conformance Findings for the Capital Improvement Program Projects, which I'm going to refer to as CIP from here on out, for fiscal year 2024 and 25. This item is a joint planning and public works effort, and Teresa Lopes, Senior Project Manager in Public Works, will be providing the majority of the presentation, and I'm also here with Ann Wells, Advanced Planning Manager, who is here to answer any questions that might come up. As noted in the staff report packet, the Commission is required under Government Code Section 65401 to review the CIP for conformity with the general plan for the upcoming fiscal year. The Government Code Section requires that you make this finding in advance of the City Council adopting the upcoming fiscal year budget. As a reminder, the CIP is a budgeting tool, is a budgeting and strategic planning tool used to assess the infrastructure needs of the community. We reviewed the fiscal year 2024 and 2025 list of CIP projects and found them in conformance with the general plan. Exhibit 1 is attached to the PC Reso and presents the companion general plan policies project by project. The last bullet on the slide flags the fact that for fiscal year 2024 and 2025, the CIP list is consistent with the Public Works Annual Work Plan and the 5-year CIP budget. The general plan conformance matrix in Exhibit 1 of the PC Reso includes a list of projects in the upcoming fiscal year, including recently completed CIPs and a number of future projects that are listed for informational purposes only. The action before the Commission, however, is specifically for fiscal year 2024 and 2025, as required by government code. I will now turn over the presentation to Teresa Lopes, who is the Senior Project Manager in Public Works.
Thanks, Ms. Cunningham. And I wanted to inform everybody that we have Autumn Glazer, our Acting Assistant Public Works Director, available. She's joining us via Zoom, and she will be available to assist in answering questions. So before getting into the projects, I'd like to give you a brief overview of the CIP project delivery process. The process consists of several phases, starting with conceptual design. And during this phase of a project, this is where the planning and project scoping takes place. Also, staff will look at developing alternatives and coming up with the estimates for the complete project. Once we complete the conceptual design, we move into environmental review. And this is where the environmental studies are conducted and the development of environmental document for the project. After we develop our environmental document, we go into design and the right-of-way phase, and those two phases typically go hand-in-hand. That's where the project design is done, and it helps us determine any right-of-way acquisitions that are necessary, and those will take place during this phase. As well, most of the project permitting is done during the design phase. And finally, once we have our final design and bid documents completed, everyone's favorite phase, the project goes into construction. And this is the most exciting phase where everything, all the hard work done comes together and we get to see the project built. Now, I'm going to go through a brief overview of some of our CIP projects for fiscal year 24-25. And touch on some of the projects that are the most active right now. So in this first slide, there's a list of projects which are in final design and or construction. Starting with the Equifowler Extension projects, Hollister Roundabouts, the Hollister Avenue Bridge project, and the Hollister Avenue Old Town Interim Striping project. So these three projects have been packaged together as Project Connect. For this project, construction is in full swing, and the work you've probably been seeing out on Hollister right now is related to the utility relocation work that's required for the project, and this work will be ongoing for several weeks. Also taking place right now is some temporary signal work on Hollister. The Hollister Interim Striping Project, this one consists of restriping and pavement rehabilitation along Hollister between Fairview and Kinman, and this project is scheduled to begin later this month. Next, we have the San Jose Creek Bike Path Middle Extent and the Community Garden Project. So these two projects were packaged together as one construction project. And I'm pleased to say that project is very close to completion on both of these, and that we can stay tuned for a ribbon cutting coming up in the very near future. Johnny D. Wallace Park splash pad. So with this project, we did have some delays early on in construction due to difficulty in acquiring and procuring equipment and materials necessary. But now that the facilities building has been delivered and set in place, the project is moving forward very quickly. And the goal is for the splash pad to be completed this summer. Now I'm going to touch on some of the projects which are in final design and ready to go into construction, starting with the train depot and South La Patera improvements. So bids open for this project actually this coming Thursday, and the project's getting ready to go into construction. in the next several months. Then we have everybody's favorite bike path, the San Jose Creek multipurpose path, northern and southern segments. So project design, right-of-way, and permitting have all been completed. We are still working with Union Pacific Railroad on getting the approvals necessary across their right-of-way. We hope to have that in the next coming year. And as you are probably aware, we did receive ATP grant funding for a portion of the design, the right-of-way, and then also the construction. So we're pursuing additional funding to help take some of the burden off of the local funding that's needed to bridge that gap between the ATP funding and the construction cost. And we anticipate going to bid on the project next spring with construction beginning late 2025, early 2026. Touching on the Matilda Park improvements, it's anticipated that this project will go out to bid for construction this summer. Now, I'm going to touch on some of the projects which are currently in design and or conceptual design, starting with the Vision Zero plan program. So on February 20th, 2024, Council adopted a resolution supporting Vision Zero efforts to eliminate fatal and severe transportation-related collisions. And what most people don't know is that Vision Zero efforts have been ongoing and considered and included in every CI project, or every CIP project, including planning, design, and maintenance. The next step of the named project is to develop a recognized Vision Zero program. Staff is currently working on scoping the program and also identifying additional funding sources to help further this effort. So we'll be hearing a lot about Vision Zero in the next coming year. The Elwood Butterfly Habitat Management Plan. So on this one, last week's the city received their coastal development permit for the project, and so we're now ready to move forward into the construction phase. The plan is a phased project, and phase one will be the first piece that will move into construction very soon. The Cathedral crib wall repair. So the design phase of the crib wall repair project is beginning. Over the past several years and past storm events, emergency repairs have been made to this stretch of Cathedral Oaks as band-aids to fix problems that have happened during the storm. Over the past several months, new geotechnical investigations have been conducted. And Public Works is moving forward with an emergency, we're calling it an emergency design contract, because we want to get this project into design for the permanent fix of this area and get it out to construction sooner rather than later. And staff is continuing to work with finance and the city council to identify potential funding sources for the construction of the project. Stowe Grove Master Plan and Renovation. This is another project that's moving forward. Currently, we are in the negotiation phase with a landscape architect consultant to do the design for the master plan, as well as a separate process, finalizing the playground design and selecting a playground vendor. And the traffic signal upgrades project. This is a project which is funded with HSIP, Highway Safety Improvement Program funds, and we are currently in final design on this one. And then moving on to our recently completed projects. So we have two recently completed projects, the Goleta Community Center improvements, including the seismic upgrades, and the pedestrian hybrid beacon and crosswalk at Kaya Real near the Fairview Center And with that, I'm going to hand it back to Ms. Cunningham.
Chair Maynard and commissioners, I'm just going to chime in here because I think that it's noteworthy after planning has done so many of these 65401 general plan conformity determination packets with Public Works. You'll see on the list, and that's in Exhibit 1 to the resolution that you'll be considering tonight, there's a lot of projects that are in design, and then there's projects, even big ones, that are completed. And I think it's telling that our, first of all, when we work with them on these general plan policies to ensure that there's conformity, it's easy because our general plan is so front and center in our city. And I don't know if all cities are like that, but maybe, you know, we have a relatively fresh general plan, and it's been our constitution and guiding what we do every day. And we have a lot of policy and programs related to that in our general plan. And so I just wanted to flag how much that I mean, Ms. Lopes and Ms. Glazer can share that back with all the staff at Public Works, but they have been cranking on projects. And like this, some of the stuff they're doing now was dependent on Title 17, for example, or the bike and ped master plan, and it took a long time to prepare those things. And I think we're seeing the results of that hard work, because it takes some of that planning time for them to then start working on the projects. So I just, and then again, like you, there's such a connection between what we do and our general plan that it was relatively easy to connect the dots in the attachment to the resolution. So I just wanted to flag that it's been a long time coming where all these things start coming together and we see, you know, change on the streets and improvements and repairs and things like that. So and all the stuff on Elwood Mesa, for example, that was substantial work effort leading into not just getting all the permits, including the Coastal Commission permit, but funding and, you know, getting ready to get on the ground. So like this is all very exciting, I think, and Public Works has been working really hard on these projects, which I just wanted to highlight. So thank you. And go ahead.
The recommendation before you this evening is detailed in the Planning Commission resolution. The title of this resolution is listed on the slide. This concludes the staff presentation, and we are happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you so much.
Are there any questions from commissioners? Jennifer Fullerton, or Commissioner Fullerton.
Thank you. Just a question. Can you clarify that this list of capital improvement projects does not include other maintenance like road repairs and paving and things like that?
I think Teresa can answer that. They're bundled under one row, right?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner Fullerton. That is correct. So these are just the projects that are listed in the capital improvement program and do not include typical annual projects like the pavement rehab project or the concrete repair project or other maintenance efforts.
So just curious, how are they prioritized? I know there's some, you know, really bad areas in town right now where the roads, it's like kind of scary to drive. Like how are the priorities between these projects and those kind of like road repair maintenance prioritized and budgeted?
So the pavement project or the pavement rehabilitation program is completely separate, and it's the program looks at and identifies in order the streets that need, it's a whole process. It's kind of hard to explain it concisely, but the pavements that need repair, and they look at what type of repair and what roads, you know, can we do something like a simple overlay if we do it this year, but if we wait 2 years, it would be a full reconstruction. And compare that to another street that does need a full reconstruction, which is the most expensive.
So it goes through that entire program to come up with the list of projects and which ones, depending on the funding that's available, which ones, you know, would be done each year. For the capital improvement program, the funding in for a lot of the projects is a separate funding source, whether it comes from grant funding or a state program. And so with the, we bring our list of projects to City Council every year, and we go through the priorities and the funding that's available, projects that do have grant, that we've received grant funds for, and they do have funding deadlines. Those are placed as a higher priority than ones that may not have funding.
Okay, thank you. And then one further question on the Cathedral Oaks crib wall repair. I know it was closed for a while. The street was closed after the recent storms. Is the new design going to incorporate everything needed to repair that whole section of road, even whatever may have happened in the last few months?
Yes, that's correct. And I'd like to let Ms. Glazer, who's on Zoom, kind of add to that.
Yes, hi. Good evening, commissioners. The crib wall project, the emergency design, will incorporate everything that's needed for the wall and the voids underneath the bike path, including reopening the bike path.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll go to Commissioner Smith.
Thank you. Just a few questions. I saw that the 101, the like Western Goleta 101 overcrossing was listed further down in terms of conceptual design. And I just wanted, I know that's had some back and forth, and I understand to SBCAG, and so for the commission's benefit, is it my understanding that that concept now will be bike and pedestrian for the overcrossing?
Well, per City Council's direction that was discussed during our capital improvement program budget workshop for fiscal year 24-25 at the council meeting in early April, council has directed staff to go back and look at the overcrossing as a bicycle and pedestrian only crossing. And so Public Works is currently working on the feasibility study and to assess the overcrossing, and then also scoping, coming up with the scope for the project.
Thank you for that update. And then another general question I had, I don't know if this is more for planning staff, but certainly with the storm events we've had in the last few years, I saw that, you know, we had that Public Works had some of these, you know, drainage projects on the list, and including a storm drain master plan. But then I didn't see a lot of reference or a direct reference in the safety element. And it may just be one of those things that I don't know that we could have fathomed all the catastrophes we've had in the last few years. But is it that the safety element is really kind of higher level, or it almost made me wonder if at some point, I don't know if the council may take on another review of the safety element.
Thank you, Commissioner. Drainage master plan, I believe there's specific policy in the conservation element, and that's, you know, guiding the master plan is guiding these projects. If that, so it may not be in the safety element, and we, Goleta is historically flooded. I mean, that's why we do some of these projects that were, you know, like the Hollister Bridge project and some of these, you know, redos of the road crossings is to get better capacity in the creeks and the San Jose Creek project and, you know, all of those things. We're chipping away at the flooding issue, and we have more to do, of course, but But the, it's in the conservation element, I believe. I can, if I'm wrong, I'll clarify.
That's helpful. Thank you. I was thinking of the safety lens, but of course, certainly the conservation lens there is important as well. Those are all my questions.
Next, we'll have Vice Chair Chapman.
Thank you. That was a good question about the overcrossing project. I also had a question about that. So currently, that element says that it is, you know, intended to divert vehicle trips away from a congested overcrossing. If the city council intends to make it a bike and pedestrian crossing, would they need to change that element to something like, you know, presenting alternatives to vehicle trips? Because it wouldn't be diverting vehicle trips. Is that kind of interpretable? And I guess, is the current project listed as a vehicle project? And is that kind of what we're evaluating? Kind of confusing.
I don't know if Ms. Wells has a response to that, Commissioner Chapman, but if the circulation element did make that assumption, then yes, that would imply the need for an update. We have an update of the circulation element on deck anyway. That's something that we intend to do in the relatively near future. It's in our work program. Not for this fiscal year, likely, but that is something that we'll need to revisit for other reasons in any case.
Thank you. I was just looking up that conformity policy, and that's in like the transportation element, and it says that the planned new crossings are intended to connect Kyrielle with Hollister Avenue, generally at Elwood Station Road in Western Goleta and at La Patera Road in the central Hollister area. To create alternative routes that will divert vehicle trips away from the existing heavily used cross routes with freeway interchanges. And I think some of, you know, we've long since talked about whether it should be cars or pedestrian, and so it's kind of open-ended in here, because if you can safely get cyclists and pedestrians across the freeway, then you'll have more capacity at the existing car overcrossings, and so there's always, it's always, every time you put in an overcrossing, it's going to help with the traffic flow where there's vehicles. So that I think that some of it has to do with like the constrained right of way and the configuration of the properties to the north and the south of the freeway, and it, like, there's a lot of factors that go into these things. So I think that's why it's taken a while to even get here in the first place, is some of those configurations of properties and running traffic models to see what happens with vehicles and pedestrians and cyclists. So I think it's kind of a, not specifically answering your question, but if you listen in to some of the meetings on these project updates with the city council, then you can kind of get a sense for what is going on with the limitations and then the modeling results that they're doing, but they're still early in this process.
Yeah, and Vice Chair Chapman, I can add to that. So the project description in the capital improvement program includes vehicles, bicycles, and pedestrians. So that decision as to whether it would become a bicycle and pedestrian only overcrossing has not been determined yet. So we're still in the feasibility study stage of that alternative.
And to add to that, more literally, the policy says freeway crossing. And I was here when we worked on the general plan policies, and it was intentionally left crossing, because that was the priority was, you know, the crossing, not getting on and off to the freeway, at least. So that I wanted to clear up, but you could, it doesn't restrict that, but it was, whether it's pedestrians, bikes, cars, it's the crossing that's the key.
Thank you for clarifying that. I had some other questions about some of the other items. The 9083, which is the signal upgrades. I know that is something that we talked with the MTD before about when in regards to our transportation elements regarding public transportation, things that would enable upgrades that would enable signal prioritization for mass transportation and for emergency vehicles. Is that something that is included in the traffic signal upgrades?
Vice Chair Chapman, I apologize. I don't know the details on that component. I do know that that new equipment is being installed at some of the controllers, the older ones, to expand to things such as being able to use Bluetooth communication for signal interconnect, and that also incorporating things like pedestrian lead time and replacement of the signal heads to the larger 12-inch, as well as doing the reflective backplates on the signals. But as far as the specifics with transit, I would have to get back to you on that.
Thank you. And then I also have a question about the 9114, which is the interim striping. One part of that is that's referenced is the transportation element 3.3, which is a major arterials. And I was kind of wondering about essentially how that kind of works with sort of the design of the project and some of the things that. So I guess the kind of the bigger question I have is it seems like kind of the definition of major arterial kind of conflicts with Hollister and Old Town. You know, one of the points is it's designed to carry traffic between neighborhoods and driveway access is discouraged, but that's kind of neither the case in what the City Council has expressed as far as that project in Old Town. Is that sort of an accurate assessment?
I'll help, Commissioner. I'll help Teresa start this off because I have the general plan in front of me. But the policy consistency and the conformity is there's a number of transportation element policies, like an integrated multimodal transportation system, improved connectivity in street, pedestrian, and bikeways, multi-use street systems, major arterials, Hollister Avenue redesign improvements, and bicycle safety. So the major arterial, which is TE 3.3, is you have to look at the definition of arterial in the transportation element. And then I think it's because of these, the cross streets for arterials are some of them are major arterials that it's trying to help the traffic flow there, but that that policy, the principal arterials, it covers a few different types of arterials, and they're all along that Hollister, and some of them on the crossings of the more major kind of more familiar streets like Fairview, but it gives the definitions and the functions and access to abutting properties and design standards. So it's pretty specific on and overarching on the arterials for that particular policy. I don't know if Teresa wants to add to that. Did that answer your question, or was there something more specific that you were getting at?
I think I could potentially follow up later as far as I think I have what I need for this determination. And then I just have one more question about the drainage plan. Just to add to that, the other questions on that, What exactly does that entail, and how is it different from what's done now?
I'm going to pass this one off to Ms. Glazer.
Yeah, thanks, Ms. Lopes. So the drainage master plan will be used to look at our infrastructure, sizing capabilities, and also the condition of our facilities. And so it's very specific to the actual infrastructure and what drainage basins flow to where. So it's a more technical report, which will lead to priorities for future projects and drainage replacement projects.
And to add to what Ms. Glazer just said, from a general plan perspective, and there was another question earlier from a commissioner on this topic. And so the conservation element includes the watershed management and water quality specifics. And then in the transportation element, there's drainage policy and component features included in street standards. So that's where these like projects like the Elwood Beach Drive drainage plan is tiering off of from the master plan and then from these policies.
Got it. Thank you.
All right, Commissioner Miller.
Thank you. Number of things here. I'd like to just follow up, first of all, with what Commissioner Fullerton was talking about. Number one, with our favorite subject of road paving. I heard the answer that none of the CIP projects include the road paving. Apparently, there's a different process for road paving or infill or whatever repair needs to be made, and that there is a priority system as to which ones should be fixed first and so on. So I originally was going to, before that question was asked and answered, I was going to ask about the crib wall project, going back to that, to see if the crib wall would include any repaving on Cathedral Oaks, because the crib wall is not right there where the repaving needs to take place, but it's just kind of adjacent to that stretch of Cathedral Oaks that has not been repaved. I think it's from Evergreen down to Dos Pueblos High School. I'm not exactly sure of the boundaries on that, but I know there's that one stretch of Cathedral Oaks that has not been repaved. So I guess I'm wondering if you could just maybe answer the question again. Is there any process, is there any plan to, first of all, repave the rest of Cathedral Oaks there for this fiscal year? Next fiscal year, can you answer any questions on that first?
Commissioner Miller, before I ask Ms. Glazer for some help on this one, I did, I may have misspoke about the paving projects, because often if we are doing a CIP project or a roadway improvement project that spans an area of a road that does need pavement repair, we will do the pavement repair at the same time as that project, as funding allows, just so that if we're doing something, for example, the Hollister interim striping project, we're gonna change the striping on Hollister. Well, we know that the pavement on Hollister needs to be addressed, as well as some other ADA slope issues. So
rolled up into that project. It's not just a striping project, but it's also going to, take care of the pavement issues for that stretch of road. As far as Cathedral Oaks, I want to say that we do have another section of Cathedral Oaks that's being included in the pavement project that is going to construction this year. And Ms. Glazer may know the limits of that. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yes, so Cathedral Oaks Road is included in the pavement project that is being taken to council on the 21st of May for award of construction. And that includes Winchester Canyon Road to Paseo del Pinon, and then Paseo del Pinon to Evergreen. So I believe the section we're discussing is captured. So it is not directly related to the Cathedral Oaks Crib Wall project. It will be done as part of the paving maintenance project.
Okay, that's great. That answers that question. I'd like to also ask about the Elwood Mesa project. Ms. Wells talked about how much planning and work has gone into getting the Elwood Mesa project to this point, specifically because of the Coastal Commission. So my question is there anything more for the Coastal Commission to approve, or have they approved everything that they're going to approve, or is the process still going on?
Ms. Glazer, can you address that?
Yes. So we received our coastal development permit, which means that we have the permit to do the work that was provided as part of that package, which was the full project. We are moving forward with the funding available. There is the grant we've received from the Coastal Conservancy, and that is the work that's taking place. So we do have the permit for the full project, but we are working in pieces and phases, as Ms. Lopes had mentioned. So the first phase will include, we're replacing the access road that if you've been out there, you've seen that it got washed out during these last storms. So that is being replaced. The irrigation, we're also taking that to authorize to advertise to council on the 21st of May so that work can go in. And that's really the backbone behind a lot of the plantings that will follow and the mitigation or restoration plantings as a follow-up to that as well.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Getting back to paving again, you mentioned that the paving and repair of roads is not included in the CIP process. Okay, so, but is the paving still included in the general plan or some other element, and does the Planning Commission weigh in on that? Or is it just the City Council that approves that and doesn't go through Planning Commission?
I can start that response on that question. Thank you, Commissioner. The purpose of the 65401, which is that government code section, the purpose of it is to find the capital improvement program, the CIP, in conformance with the general plan. So that's what the state asks of you, and that's what we present to you in the packet. For paving, though, that in the transportation element, there's like other improvements that is kind of a catch-all for like maintenance and things like that. But I don't think that we really, like, once you have something, you need to maintain it. So like that is kind of standard operation for the city. And that goes through, like, as Teresa noted, it goes through the City Council on the prioritization and all of those factors and the funds, et cetera.
Okay. And then finally, this is going back to the very beginning, what is the process to get a project on the CIP list? You know, who or what makes the determination of what these projects that we have talked about tonight that we see in front of us, who or what makes the determination that these are the projects, these are the CIP projects that we're working on, that we're putting through design, that we're putting, you know, starting construction on, all of those things. How does that come to fruition? Is there a certain group of people that makes that determination? Is it just when something fails, then you put it on the CIP list? Or is there some sort of rhyme or reason as to how that whole process works?
Thank you, Commissioner. I'll start, and then I'll let Ms. Wells jump in as well. But it all starts with our planning documents and our even the city strategic plan. So our goals, our requirements that are set forth, for example, our bicycle pedestrian plan that has goals and needs identified, and projects have been identified as part of that plan, and as opportunities become available, funding becomes available, and the need becomes more urgent, then we're able to start picking projects off of, you know, from that document to identify them as CIP projects. Same with, we've recently completed our GLETA traffic safety study. So that's another example of a planning document or an action plan that helps us identify needs and goals that that we want to attain as for the city. So starting off with our planning documents and provisions set forth in those is where we start with identifying CIP projects, and I'll let the others jump in.
I think that Teresa answered that question really well. Like, it's building off the strategic plan, and it's, you know, funding, how you get your funding for these structural improvements or repairs that qualify in the CIP.
Okay, thank you.
Vice Chair Chapman?
Thank you. Just one more small question. It was about 9117, which is the San Jose Creek Fish Passage Modification Project. The general plan policy listed there is the sort of catch-all 5.15 of the transportation element. Is this also supported by any of the conservation element? Because I don't know if this is like, or is this considered a sort of a transportation adjacent project because it's part of a bridge repair?
Yeah, it started off as a traffic improvement and drainage for, you know, the drain. If you control the drainage, then you have better control over the streets. And it's, you know, started with the Hollister Bridge replacement. And then the fish passage was added on to it, to that project. So I think that starts the response, and if Teresa wants to add to it.
Sure. So a while back there was the whole San Jose Creek channel improvement project, and as part of that project, these fish passage infrastructure was built into that project. And what happened is that we were finding out that it wasn't really working as well as everybody thought. So the Department of Fish and Wildlife, they required that these modifications and improvements be made to that fish passage component of the project
as part of the Hollister Avenue Bridge Replacement Project. So the city is required to make these modifications and improvements as part of the permit for the Hollister Avenue Bridge improvement.
Sort of a maybe unrelated question, but if there was a state requirement, I don't think this is necessarily, but if there was a state requirement that actually, you know, mandated doing something that is not in accordance with the general plan, is that something that happens, and do you know how that would work?
Well, I think that was mitigation from a CEQA document for the bridge, and it was added in as a requirement. But those are done collaboratively, so we wouldn't be undertaking something if it didn't fit within our general plan. But I think that at the heart of it is we were able to do it all. We were able to, you know, have the traffic flow better. We were able to have the drainage flow better and have some fish passage, hopefully.
Yeah, I suppose it was more of a theoretical question, but thank you.
I imagine that it would be much like what we had with the housing element, where there were requirements coming down from the state that were inconsistent with what we were doing locally, and we had to update our housing element and the general plan first, and then we passed the additional rule. So I think that would be what we would do. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. I actually don't have any clarifying questions. I thought the staff report was incredibly well written, and I'm very impressed by all that you've been doing. Are there any other questions from commissioners? Okay. Do we have any public comment tonight?
I have no speaker slips for this item, and there's no members of the public joining us via Zoom.
Okay. Well, thank you. With that, I will close the public hearing. And I will move on to deliberation then, since we didn't gain any new information in public comment. Okay, who would like to start deliberation? Commissioner Smith.
Thank you. First, I just wanna commend the Public Works Department and all the city staff. We always enjoy this process each year, since we're not seeing this these items regularly the same way you all are. And so it's really wonderful to see the progress made. I feel like early in my term as a planning commissioner, there was a lot of future to do items, and to see a lot of these things happening is really exciting. You know, I know that there's gonna be some disruptions. There's gonna be a lot of construction and things happening in this next year, particularly in Old Town. But, you know, I think the timing actually is really important. We know that the county just rezoned a lot of properties just east of Old Town. Mm-hmm. And so that work, you know, is really important already. And then in light of those additional changes happening in the region. But yes, with these improvements and changes comes some temporary disruption along the way. My only comment was there might just be a couple areas where maybe there's some additional references to some additional policies. You know, there's a general transportation element policy 11 talks about some of the general, you know, bike safety and transportation. That general policy might be able to be added, for example, to the San Jose Bike Project listing, and maybe some additional references where for some of these drainage items where I was like a little uncertain where is this all falling. But in reviewing everything, I think it's consistent. And then I also just want to commend seeing some of the improvements that are planned for Stork and Hollister. We know in Western Goleta that we have a lot of city rezones, and then we also have adjacent county rezones that are happening. And so in looking to the future in the next 8 years, we know that there may be a lot of changes coming. So it was good to see that on the list. And I think as the council looks to the 25-26 year, it'll be interesting to see how some of these rezoning efforts may impact priorities, thinking about, you know, I know so often we see kids on e-bikes crossing over 101 on, you know, Stork to Glen Annie, and they'll be like on the sidewalk, and you know, it's all a little bit chaotic in that area. So hopefully those ongoing improvements will continue. But thank you for sharing this with us and all this great information. And I'd be in support of adopting the resolution.
Vice Chair Chapman.
Thank you. I'd also like to echo the sort of impressiveness of this list and everything that was put together. Sort of in that vein, one I think additional sort of note of support is for the improvements to Johnny Wallace Park. And that is in regards to open space element 6.2, which is the equitable distribution of parks. I think Goleta has an amazing amount of parks, but the historical distribution of those parks definitely I would not describe as equitable. You know, it's amazing to think before Johnny Wallace Park and all of Old Town, there was just Armitos Park and that tiny pocket park, which I think serves as about a quarter of the population of the city. And so I think that any improvements to the parks around there, including the community gardens as well, are really helping with that goal of having an equitable distribution of those really important resources. And then, yeah, otherwise, I think that this is all in accordance with the general plan.
Any additional comments for deliberation? All right, would anybody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to recommend to adopt resolution number 24, next in line, entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, finding the fiscal year 2024-202 capital improvement program is in conformance with the Goleta General Plan / Coastal Land Use Plan pursuant to section 65401 of the Government Code, and finding the determination to be exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act.
Commissioner Smith?
I'll second.
Okay. Clerk Collier, can you take us in a roll call vote?
Commissioner Smith?
Yes.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Yes.
Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
Vice Chair Chapman?
Yes.
Chair Maynard?
Yes. And with that, it unanimously passes. Thank you for the wonderful presentations and for joining us tonight. We'll go on to Planning Director comments. Director Imhoff, do you have any comments for us tonight?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really don't have much by way of a report this evening. We have a rather light agenda coming up over the next month or so. We have no meeting on May 27th, which is Memorial Day. And then at this point, we have no items for either the June 4th or the June 24th meetings. We'll see if that changes, but at this point, it's looking like we will likely not meet in June.
And we'll then move on to Planning Commission comments, and then any comments from the Planning Commissioners. Okay. Seeing none, can I get a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
I'll second.
And Clerk Collier, can you take us in a roll call vote for adjournment?
Commissioner Smith?
Yes.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Yes.
Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
Vice Chair Chapman?
Yes.
Chair Maynard?
Yes, and we are concluded.